Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Colossians chapter 4, the fifth verse, it says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time." Redeeming the time. This is God's word to you and I. He's telling us what to do with time. Here he's telling us to redeem it. In other words, any time that you have wasted and spent and lost, he wants you to get it back. If we believe, our time can be redeemed. Think about all the years, all the things, all that time wasted in the past. Imagine getting it all back. He can restore. The book of Joel talks about that, that he'll restore to you the years that have been stolen from you. Amplified Bible for Colossians 4:5 says, "Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious." Every moment of your life, every opportunity is precious. Because you're precious. Your life is precious. Your life is made up of time. Your time is precious. So value every moment of your life. Appreciate, esteem every moment of your life. The more we value our hours, the hours and minutes of our day, the less time we're going to be spent in doing things that are devaluing, things that waste our time, waste our life. Man, you're too good. Your life's too awesome to be wasted. Your time is too good. It's too awesome to be wasted. Don't let it be wasted on worthless living, worthless thinking. Let's think big. Huh? Let's think big. Turn to somebody and say, think big. Glory to God. Every moment of your life is precious. Every moment, every moment, every moment of your life is precious. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about redeeming the time also. Ephesians 5 in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." There it is again. "Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Thank God we can know the will of the Lord. Thank God we can know the will of the Lord. How can you know the will of the Lord? Through the word of the Lord. Through God's word. God's word reveals his will. And that's, of course, his general will. And then by faith in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit who reveals to us that specific will of God for our life. He'll move in different ways in our life, revealing to us his specific will. And of course, his specific will that is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit has to agree with the general will of God, which is the written word of God, right? And this is a big part of redeeming the time. Big part of redeeming the time is understanding the will of the Lord. A lot of folks waste so much time in double-mindedness, in uncertainty, not really sure about what they're doing, where they're going, where they are. People second guess themselves all the time. And so many times people are living their lives in confusion and then doing things that are just a waste of time, guessing at life, guessing at what the right thing is to do, guessing at it based on what other people are saying and doing. And so by looking around and trying to figure things out with their head, people are just spending their time many times on worthless things, not what they were created to be doing, not what they were created to be a part of. God has created you for some great things. He's got some high and lofty plans for you. I said he's got high and lofty plans for us. He's got great and mighty things. He's got a special work that you are to accomplish in life. Special things, because you're a special people. You're God's people, his beloved, the ones that he came and gave his life for to rescue from darkness and death. God's got special things for you. He don't want you just aimlessly going through life. He wants you to understand what is the will of the Lord. And according to his word right here in Ephesians, he's telling us that we should know what the will of the Lord is. He says, therefore, verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, God's not going to tell us to do something that we cannot do. If he tells us, understand the will of the Lord for your life. Understand the will of the Lord for this moment in your life. Understand the will of the Lord right now for what you're doing or what you're getting ready to do. Then you can understand the will of the Lord. If he tells you to do it, then you can do it. Right? So we don't have to go around in the dark, but we're going to have to take time and draw near to him to understand the will of the Lord. The first key to understanding the will of the Lord is understanding that you can understand the will of the Lord. Do I need to say it again? I will. The first key to understanding the will of the Lord is understanding that you can understand the will of the Lord. You got to know that, because there's a lot of Christians walking around going, if it be thy will, if it be thy will, if, I don't know, I'm not sure, if it be, we'll just see. I guess if it all turns out, that means it was you. If it doesn't turn out, that means it wasn't you. See, that's where a lot of folks are at. That's how many know. Standing here saying, if it be thy will, is not understanding the will. Right? And yet that's where most Christians are stuck, taking the scripture out of context, something Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then just making that applicable to every area of life without understanding the context of that scripture. And understanding that Jesus, when he did say that, it wasn't shortly after saying that, that he came out of the garden understanding what the will of the Lord is. Remember when he said, if it be thy will, he was praying, if it be thy will, and then he understood the will, and he left the garden and did the will of God. He didn't stay in a perpetual, if it be thy will, if I be thy will, if it be thy will. You never know it, God. You never know it, God. If it be thy will, if it be thy will. Wow. That's going to breed confusion, and people are going to go through life wasting a lot of time guessing at life in the dark. But we're not to be in the dark, because we're the light of the world, right? And the entrance of his word gives light. Thank God for the light of the word of God, and we're not going to be sitting here just guessing in the dark, because we're in the light. Can you say amen? Thank God for it. So that's a big key to a big key to redeeming time is understanding the will of the Lord. Let me read this from the Amplified Bible, verse 17. It says, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Don't you love that? Making the very most of your time. Seize the moment. Seize every moment of your life. Wouldn't you like to do that? Man, that's how God wants us to live life, where we're just seizing the moment. We get up in the morning just looking to seize the moment. Just savor the moment. Appreciate, esteem every moment of our life. Looking at things that take place in our life as an opportunity to bring change, bring transformation into our life and into the lives of other people. Looking at everything that takes place in life as an opportunity to get better, do better, right? Have it better, be better. That's God's will here. And he says that this is important to do. This redeeming of the time, seizing the moment, is very important to do because the days are filled with evil. How many people know that to be true? Yeah. So life is like a river. And the river of this world is flowing in a certain direction. And the direction everything in this world flows towards is evil. That's the natural pull of this world. The natural pull of this world is towards evil. So if you kind of just get up in the morning and have the attitude of whatever happens, happens, and you go out and put a bumper sticker on your car that says things just happen, and everything just happens, and whatever happens, happens, and like you have no control over the situation, we're just going to see what happens. I can tell you what's going to happen. You're sitting in a world whose current is flowing towards evil. And if you're not going out into your life with purpose and determination, you are going to be going towards evil. You're going to do something wrong. You're going to do evil. It's going to start with your thoughts. It's going to start with your mouth. It's going to begin to just involve every area of your life. You're going to be involved in the wrong things. You're going to be involved in it because that's the natural pull of this world. Everything is tending towards evil. So if we don't redeem the time, if we don't seize the moment, make the most of every opportunity in life, then when we just kick it in neutral and we drop our guard and we're just gonna wait and see how it all turns out and just see how it's all gonna be. Well, if it be thy will. And we just throw out the anchor, put it in neutral. Friend, there you're going. Right towards evil. And there's a big waterfall up there too. And you'll end up going off of that if something doesn't change. You can't have this attitude of what will be. Whatever God wants to do, that's what God's going to do. That's not redeeming the time. That's not faith. That's taking your responsibilities and throwing them over on God. God's given you responsibilities. He's telling you how to live your life, what your focus should be, how you should do things, and then you're turning around and saying, that's nice. Here, Lord, whatever you want to do. And you're just casting it all on him. He didn't say cast all your responsibilities on him. He does say cast all your cares on him, all your worries, any kind of anxieties you might be dealing with, cast all that on him. He didn't say cast all your responsibilities on him. You got to take responsibility for your life. You got to take charge of your life. Come on, you're the captain of this ship. No, God's the captain of the ship. Well, no, he's there with you, working with you through you to captain this ship. He's not captain. He's not running the ship of your life independently of you. In other words, everything that happens, it's all God, has nothing to do with you. No, that's not how life works. No, he's in us. God's not looking to do things for you as much as he's looking to do things through you. He works through you. You want to get something done? You want to see things? You want to see God move on your behalf? Move with him. Move with him. How many people believe for a move of God? Well, that's not going to happen until we're moving with God. We'll see a move of God when we move with God. When God's people move with God, we'll have a move of God. But it's not just sitting back waiting for a move of God. God's going to do something. He's going to move through his body, the body of Christ. He needs a body. And we are members of his body. So he wants to move through you and I to accomplish things in life. So the whole world is tending towards evil. And if we're not going to find ourselves involved in evil, then we're going to have to purpose. We're going to have to determine to do the right thing. Because you just start getting a little lazy, a little sluggish, and just uncaring, not valuing that moment of your life, not looking at that moment of your life as precious. Next thing you know, you start engaging in and entertaining yourself and involving yourself in things that are not good. They're evil. So you can't allow yourself to go there. Your life's too valuable. Every moment of your life is valuable. And every moment of your life affects other moments in your life, future moments in your life. So you mess around with these moments of your life, and now you've got to get all that stuff out of your system, and you got to work through all these troubles now that you've sowed back here. Now you're reaping these things up here in the future. And so now it's just taking more of your time, more time being spent on dealing with and working with evil that we never should have gotten involved in. We would never have gotten involved in to begin with if we valued our time. If we viewed our life and our time as something as precious, precious. Glory to God. Your life is worth investing into. Investing God into your life. Investing good into your life. Your life is worth sacrifice and whatever it takes so that your life is successful. Your life is powerful because you were created to live a powerful life. If you don't take control of your time, which is your life, you'll be controlled by evil. If you don't take control of your time, evil will. Evil will take control of it. Things that are contrary to God, contrary to life, contrary to God's plan for you will take control of your life. You see, people's desires or the desires for evil things get control of them when their time is not controlled. People lose control of their desires, but before they lost control of their desires, they lost control of their time. They lost control of what they were doing with their time meditating, their thinking time, and whatever else they were doing in life. They lost control. They didn't keep track of their time. Their time wasn't very valuable to them. They wasted some time on worthless things. And then next thing you know, their desires for evil are out of control. Again, time and life are even in some places in the Word of God, the same Hebrew word. Same Hebrew word. In fact, Psalm 31, verse 15, in the New King James Bible, which is what I read from, it says, my times are in your hand. That's what the psalmist said. My times are in your hand. But the contemporary English version, Bible says it this way, my life is in your hands. Which one's right? They're both right. Because your time is your life. And your life is made up of time. And then the contemporary English Bible says it this way. It says, my future is in your hands. So notice that my times are in your hand. My life is in your hand. My future is in your hands. And all of them are right. They're all right. Because your time is your life and it's your future. It's your future. How you spend your time affects your future. We are today a product of what we've done in times past. What some of the things, good or evil, that we deal with today, so much of it is the result of how we spent our time in the past. How many people want a brighter future? Oh, then what are we doing now? How are we spending our time? How are we spending our life now? That is our future. What you're doing now is your future. How are you thinking now? That's your future. How are you talking now? That's your future. See, that's the direction you're going. That's the direction you're setting yourself up for. See, if we think in these terms, which is thinking in line with God's word, we're going to be on the watch, man. We're going to be on the guard. We're going to protect our life a whole lot more than we have in the past. Live with purpose. I want to live with purpose or live on purpose. I don't want to just, well, I'm here, I'm alive. I woke up this morning. Isn't that good enough? Well, no, it's not. You don't want it to be. Just waking up is not enough. Now live on purpose. Hallelujah. Live with purpose. Not as one who just is going through life beating the air. Remember, we looked at that over in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And in verse 24, he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Obtain what? The prize. "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate," or self-controlled, "in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty." We understand what the will of the Lord is. We don't run with uncertainty. "Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." Because like we talked about last time, you'll always lose. You know, there's been people that have beaten the air, you know, just gone out there and done whatever they did in the flesh, just doing their own thing, just out there striving, working hard, just out there. But it amounted to beating the air in the spirit. You know what's funny about that? The people I'm talking about, you know, in generations gone by, they're dead. They're not even breathing air. But the air is still here. The air won. Don't get in the ring with the air. That's my philosophy. Don't try to beat the air. Can you say amen? Let's hit our target. How about the prince of the power of the air? Whoa. Right? That's what the devil's called over there in Ephesians chapter 2. He's called the prince of the power of the air. Let's focus in. Let's just say hit the air. Let's really hit the target. Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's what we're up against in life. A lot of people fighting with flesh and blood. You're beating the air. A lot of people just reacting to other people and reacting to the things in the flesh, reacting to the things in the natural. What are they doing? Just beating the air. Just beating the air. That's all they're doing. The real adversary, the real target to hit here is not your neighbor. It's the devil. It's the prince of the power of the air. Hit your target. Bam! Oops. Sorry. Not really. Right? Just hit your target. So many people, you know, the devil just keeps wreaking havoc in their life. Just keeps wreaking havoc in their life. And he just dances around them. He's just dancing around them. And they don't even see him. They're totally oblivious that he's there. And he's just dancing around them. And they're swinging. They're swinging at their neighbor. They're murmuring. They're griping. They're complaining. And they don't even know. Their problem's not with flesh and blood. It's with the devil. Hit your target. Can you say amen? Verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified." Even the great apostle Paul is saying there, he stays on top of his flesh. He stays on top of his body. He disciplines it. Why? Because it's worth it. Your life is worth disciplining. A lot of folks, they don't discipline their life. They just eat it, they think it, they drink it, they watch it, they do it. It's just too hard. You're worth it. You're worth the pain. You're worth the suffering in disciplining yourself to have the kind of life God has for you. And besides that, if you don't suffer now, you will suffer later. If you don't suffer, if you don't deal with these little fleshly things and say, "I'm putting this flesh under and we're going to sacrifice and we're going to suffer here. I don't care how much it hurts. We're going to discipline ourselves to do the right thing." Then bless God, that little suffering is just short-lived. And it's going to save you from a whole future of suffering at the hands of evil. People, whole life suffering at the hands of evil. Victims in life, just drifting through life, just being pushed around through life, being tossed and driven. Got no control, no discipline, no self-control in their life. And just suffering day in and day out, there, because it's so hard to suffer, to discipline themselves. See, put it in this context, see how ridiculous that is. You're suffering at the hands of evil almost all the time, got all kinds of turmoil, all this stuff going on, And then you turn and say, it's just too hard to give up that. It's too hard to let go of that. It's too hard to discipline my body and bring it into subjection in that area. That's too hard. That's too hard. I can't handle that kind of suffering. Okay. As you suffer day in and day out with one problem after the other. One thing not working out right after the other, simply because we're completely outside of God's plan, drifting through life, letting evil have its way. Letting evil just pound on us, beat on us, beat us up. God says, get up. Get up, rock. Get in there. Take him. You can win. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We can do this thing. I said, we can do this thing. We can do this thing. We can do this thing called life, man, and we can do it well. Huh? Don't wait for life to do you. Do life. Take charge of it, man. Don't wait for something to work out. Work it out. Work it out. Work out this life. Work it out with fear and trembling. You're worth it. I said, you're worth it. But notice again, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race, you and I are to be in a race. I'm not talking about the rat race of evil, the rat race of confusion that so many people are in. They're in a rut. See, their mind is stuck. Their mind is stuck, and they're in the rut of life. It's a rat race. It's a rat race. Not going anywhere. They're just in a rat race. No, he wants you over here in the race of life. I said he wants you running the race of life. Now, running again doesn't mean rushing. We're not rushing around under pressure and in a panic. That's not how we go through life. No, but we run with discipline, with purpose, right? With focus. We understand what the will of the Lord is. That's what he's talking about here. A lot of folks confuse rushing with running. They think, well, I'm going, I'm moving, I'm getting a lot of things done. Well, you're just rushing. And doing things hastily, doing things in the flesh, and everything's under pressure. God doesn't want you under pressure. We don't run because of pressure. We run because of the prize. See? Pressure is what pushes so many lost people to run. Run, run, run. Run, run. Whoosh, whoosh. Pressure to make money. Pressure, pressure, we're not going to have enough. Pressure, pressure, pressure to fulfill this desire. Pressure, pressure, pressure. People are running because of pressure. We don't run because of pressure. We run because life's precious. We run because life's precious, and therefore we run for the prize, which is what? Eternal life. Eternal life. That's just talking about heaven. That's talking about the God kind of life. See, that's the prize. You discipline yourself. You bring your body into subjection. You understand what the will of God is. You get up, seize the moment of your life. And you get out there running because you understand that through the grace of God, you can lay hold of this eternal life, this absolute unceasing fullness of life that God has given you through Jesus Christ. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but don't just stop with a taste. Let's go ahead and buy up the whole thing. You know what I'm talking about? Right, on Saturdays you go to some of these grocery stores and they got people with little sample stations throughout this place, right? You drive around with your shopping cart and you go and you get a little sample. You have no interest in buying. You're not going to buy it, but you want a sample. You want a little taste test, right? So you taste your little sample and then you go a little further. You go, that was so good. That's so good. Oh, that was the purpose, for you to see how good it was so that you would buy it. But no, instead you just tell little Johnny, go back and get another one. Because you're too embarrassed to go back and get it yourself. Right? Buy up the whole thing. But that's what a lot of Christians are. They come to church. Oh, church was so good. Okay. Bring it home with you. Bring what you're getting home with you. Don't just come for samples. Thank God for the taste test. Some of you are testing. You're tasting. Is this, I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. It's kind of good. Yeah. Okay. Don't know if I like them or not. Don't know. That word, I'm not sure. Is that right? You're tasting. Good, 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 good. Once you realize it's good, buy the whole box. Get the whole thing. Open it up. Enjoy every day. Anytime you want, 24/7. But of course, you're going to have to discipline yourself 24/7 to do that, right? Because it's a spiritual thing. It's spiritual life. And so we're going to have to reach for it. We're going to have to press for it. Because everything in this natural world presses against us. Because it doesn't understand spiritual life. It doesn't understand eternal life. So everything in this world is pressing against us. But thank God we could press through it with a determination, with a focus, with an understanding of knowing. This is what God's got for us. He's got it. I've tasted it, and I've seen how good it is, and now I'm running. I'm running this race to lay hold of it. To lay hold of it for myself and for others. Because the more I receive and get filled with, the more I overflow. The more I overflow, the more it affects those around me. Really, that's where ministry starts. And everybody has a ministry. According to God's word, every believer has a ministry. Ministry starts with the overflow. Once you start overflowing, bless God, the overflow is for everybody else. See? So thank God he fills your cup. That's for you. But you want to overflow. He wants your cup to overflow so that you're in the ministry mode. You're in ministry mode affecting other people's lives with this eternal life. And that affects people's future throughout all eternity. That affects where people are going to spend eternity. How many people think that's pretty important? It's important. But how we spend our time now is affecting our future. It's affecting our tomorrow and thus affecting the lives of so many other people. Too precious, too amazing. This is all just too wonderful to just treat lightly and to not really take a hold of. Take hold of your life. Take hold of your life because your life is worth it. Can you say amen? So we're not doing things under pressure. See, Satan is called the God of this world. The God of this world. And he is under pressure. That's why the people that are under his authority are always in a panic mode and operating in fear and worry and concern about things, and their motivation is pressure. Pressure, not the prize, not eternal life. We see that in Revelations, the 12th chapter, Revelation 12, 11, it says, and they overcame him, talking about the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that's us. And they did not love their lives to the death. They didn't love their lives to the death. They weren't so protective. They weren't so protective of their physical life in this world. They didn't love that. They didn't love comfort and love the pleasures of this life as much as they love his life, eternal life. That's what we're running for. That's what we're reaching for. More of his life. Oh, hallelujah. Life apart from him, well, it's empty. You know, what people think is so wonderful and so great so many times is really so pathetic compared to going through life with him, going through this life with eternal life, being filled with eternal life. See, they're reaching out and they're trying to get things because that's their source of life, money, a nice house, this family over here, that's their source of life, and they're trying to fill themselves up with these things to satisfy themselves. But you and I are filling ourselves up with eternal life and overflowing into these things. Yeah, we'll go ahead and take the money, and we'll go ahead and take the house, and we'll take the nice things, bless God, but that's not for us to gratify ourselves or satisfy ourselves. No, eternal life does that for us. We just use these things as opportunities to pour this life of God into and through. Nice things are just an opportunity for eternal life to flow through. The nicer things are, many times, the greater expression you can have of God's eternal life through it. But it isn't what's fulfilling us. It's not our purpose in life. Eternal life is. These things are just vehicles. Vehicles are just vehicles to flow eternal life through. To enjoy eternal life in. Not to give us life. not to satisfy us. No. That's not the purpose for these things. Yet it is for most people in the world. But thank God, that's not you and I, right? So he says, they didn't love their lives to the death. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. The devil's under pressure. He's in a panic. And that's why he's freaking out. Right? He's having great wrath. What causes people to have outbursts of wrath? What causes people to have outbursts of wrath? Margaret does. No. It's not Margaret. You think it's Margaret. It's not Margaret. It's pressure. It's being under pressure. Why are you under pressure with Margaret? Because you think you have a short time. In other words, you're living according to the flesh. If you've been born again, if you're a child of God, you got eternal life. You got forever. Devil's in a panic. He's running out of time. We're not in a panic. We're not running out of time. We've got time. We've got all eternity. But that doesn't make us lethargic and say, well, we got forever. What difference does it make? No, we're looking to make the most of every moment of time that we have. Because it's precious. It's awesome. It's valuable. But we got lots of it. Just because we have a lots of it doesn't mean we waste it. See, a lot of people think just because you have a lot of something, then you have time to waste. Just because you have a lot of money, you have money to waste. People do that. But no, that's not how it works with God. Do you remember when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes? He took a little boy's lunch and he multiplied, he prayed and blessed it. And the bread and the fishes were multiplied, and he fed thousands of people with the bread and the fishes. And then, you know what he told his disciples? After the people were able to eat as much as they wanted. In other words, people went back for seconds and thirds. They ate as much as they wanted. But then he told his disciples, he said, now go out there with those baskets and pick up all the fragments and make sure nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. Well, it's precious. It's valuable. This is a miracle. He didn't want any of it. But there's plenty of it. I mean, Lord, I mean, if you want another, feed another thousand bunch of people over here, I mean, what's the big deal with these fragments? Pick it up. Every fragment is important. Every fragment is precious. See, now, people in the flesh and in the natural that don't understand eternal life, see, they'll be over here and they'll hoard. And they'll hold on to, and they'll save every penny and every dime with the fear that they're going to lose it, that it's going to run out. People do it with money. People do it with time. We do it with neither. But we do gather it because it is precious. That's why. Not because we're afraid of not having enough. No, but because it's just too precious to waste. So we're running, not panicking, but we're running with great hope and great vision of great things. God's got great things for us in life. Great things to be accomplished in our times here on the earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm running. That's right. We're going to pick up the pace and we're going to run. Run with certainty. Run with conviction. Run with purpose. Run in obedience to the plan of God for your life, taking advantage of every opportunity that comes your way to lay hold of more absolute, unceasing, absolute fullness of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.